that may be, but you know, excuse my ignorance, but I never put a lot of emphasis or pay a lot of attention to the laboring of different things. When you say I sound like I'm a feminist, because see, I really don't know what you mean when you say that. I probably meant, if I made that statement, and I probably did, it's been a long, we're talking about 71, but we're talking about 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I was, 34 years old.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. That's been a good while ago. But I probably meant that poor women in general, are no different. One just may have 2 days of bed and the other one got a head, or the other one might have none. But as a person, we all the same. We're all created by God. We all came in this world by the same avenue. I think society makes us look different at each other. And people who have a way of looking at have not have a way of looking at the ones who have. Sometimes, a lot of times, attitudes are developed here, and I really think that's bad, though, because you have a Cadillac, that your attitude toward me is different because I don't have one, or I don't have one and you do. And I got an attitude toward you because you are lucky enough or fortunate enough to get one. My attitude, you actually have no certain attitude towards you. I think what I should do, if I got a problem with that, find out what you do to get yours. And if I want one, try to get it myself. And in your case, if you got one, don't have an attitude toward me because I don't have one. Maybe you ought to find out why I don't have one. And you might be able to help me get one, even if I need it and if I want it. Not necessarily if you're going to give it to me, but you might can give me some pointers on how I might be able to get it. And I just use a Cadillac as an example, any kind of anything, you know, that in the life period, you know, bed, food, water, whatever have you.
Before we record next time, I want you to look at that stuff again.
Yeah, I probably do need to look at it.
We could talk about it, because I think you were saying something else there.
Okay, what do you think I was saying?
I want you to look at it again, and tell me what you think you were saying.
Because like I said, we're talking about 20 years ago.
Yeah, but you know, the papers I gave you last time.
I'm looking at them yesterday,
Because I think there you were. Okay. Well, let's go back to where we ended last time. You said that when you went on the Lomax show is when the group, which had been underground up to then, came out in the open. And that's when you apparently got some attention. And then Ed Day contacted you after that. What was the secret?
After the Liz Lomax show, a lot of people, you know, started calling, found out what was going on, and et cetera. But in April of 66, that was after the Watts riot, I had an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. They had a conference there put on by Walter Reese, who was president of UAW at that time. That company, that group of people, put on something called Crusade Against Poverty. They had a conference in Washington, D.C. at the International Inn. It's been named several things, but it was called International Inn, and then it changed. And last time I was in Washington, it was International Inn again, something on Thomas Circle. And they had sent out invitations for people from the community to participate. And the people had to be selected by community groups. And they sent two men and a woman. And I was the woman from this area. One of the men was from, young man was from Jordan High School named Morris Taylor. I don't know where I'm in Morris. And the other man was Cecil Rucker, who set up the credit union right here in Watts, right after the riot.
Now, why did they pick the two of them? Yeah. What were they?
Cecil Rucker was with the, it's here now. They still have it here. What's the name of the place? I can't say anything right now, but anyway, the credit union is still there. It's right on 103rd Street. They had a program there. What's the name of the place? Grace Payne runs it now.
What did you do to the community leader?
Well, I guess he was doing things in the community, you know. Morris Taylor was a student. He was very active at Jordan High School, the big high school down the street that some of my children went there. And me, I don't know how I got selected out of all these other people here in the community doing things. But I remember having a meeting down Central Avenue. Dr. Cannon, he passed away. He was very, very active in the community. There were a lot of proposals for poverty programs for different people. He finally was involved in around the Martin Luther King High School and whatever, you know, later dates. And he had the first health plan and the first child care center that's out. You know, he was involved in a lot of things. He was a doctor in psychiatry. And it was at UCLA. But anyway, I remember him having this meeting. And they invited me to the meeting. Cecil was there. Morris was there. I had never met. I knew Cecil, but I didn't know Morris. And I remember a group of other people. And he chaired the meeting.
This doctor.
Dr. Alfred Cannon. And you know Alfred Cannon?
I mean, I know the name, yeah.
Yeah, he passed away in what's the name of that country in Africa?
Zimbabwe?
Yeah, because he passed away about 3 or 4 years ago. I remember him chairing the meeting, and I remember them making some nominations. I remember them voting. And I remember them telling me that I had been selected to go to Washington, D.C. to represent the community, whatever that meant. We left. I remember we going to the airport, riding American Airlines to Washington, D.C., a taxi into International Inn. I arranged everything was laid out to us. I remember going to the conference floor, and the second day I was to speak. At that time, Sergeant Shriver, who was the brother-in-law of President Kennedy, was over OEO, Office of Economic Opportunity. He was the keynoter. I remember being on stage with him. There were some young men from an organization called SOS from the West Side in Chicago also on the platform. I remember my short, part of my short speech, and I specifically remember the last few words. And it was when the jet magazine carried it and the television carried it. It's when the poverty program is all over, the rich will be rich, the poor will be poor, and I still get a welfare check. Now that's all I remember about that. And it picked up national coverage. I remember taking a picture on that platform with Sergeant Shriver and the guy from Chicago. Then I remember them booing Shriver off of the stage. That's where Ed Day and George Riley saw me. George had lost the battle to Hood Up Core, to Jane Farmer, and had moved to Washington, D.C., and had picked, they had hired him, and the Crusade had hired him for this particular conference. And...
Oh, so he's the one who organized the conference?
He helped organize the conference. Ed was there. He and Ed knew each other back in Syracuse, New York, also, for sure. And Ed was pretty well off, very well educated, and had a wife who worked all the time. George's wife worked all the time. Ed didn't have no children. George had two children, son and daughter. So, when I left the speech and the people booed Shriver after he got through speaking, and they got him on out of there, then some women went to my room with me because they heard that I was from Watts, and they wanted to talk to me. Everybody want to talk to you, come from Watts in them days, you know. So, that's where I met a lady named Etta Horn, who lives in D.C., and she was working with a group called Welfare Alliance Group, and some other people. I distinctly remember Etta.
She
was a recipient group like mine. And we talked. So I came home. Matter of fact, that was my birthday week I was there. Came home, I was running a campaign headquarters right here at 114th and Central for a senator candidate named Dudley Gray. So, after I was home about 2 weeks, this was in April, so this must have been mid, by the end of April, the 1st of May, this young white guy walked in headquarters.
The campaign headquarters?
Called me by name. They introduced himself. And frightened the hell out of me. Because I couldn't imagine, I'd never seen him before, I couldn't imagine what he wanted. He was Ed Day. Ed Day. When George decided to set up what he called Poverty Rights Action Center on R Street, little pink house there, abandoned building. And what little money they had Ed doing the traveling, doing the research, contacting people. So Ed came here, talked to Brooks Pruitt, who had been a social worker, but worked for the State Department of Human Services now. And they found me, you know, from being up there. Came in, talked. I didn't pay too much attention to him. You know, what he said, when he went here, came out of here. And he left. We had a county-wide organization. We had some other groups now besides ANC Mothers. And we did have some outside organizers to pull these women together as they saw me on television. So they decided in that part of Los Angeles, right in the 40s on Central Avenue, to pull some welfare recipients together.
Who decided?
A boy named Willie Coleman. I don't know what happened to Willie. He moved away. But anyway, they had it going along with a Jewish guy named Tim Simpson.
I know Tim.
You know Tim?
Yeah, we work together in the union.
Okay. Tim went to work in the black community right out of UCLA. He went to work with Avalon Carver. Oprah Jones was his first boss. He was a black woman. She lives in Texas now. Anyway, Tim, Woody Coleman, and some folks, they decided they really tried to involve me.
Now, Woody Coleman was doing what at the time?
Woody was.
Was he working in social work?
It was a group, no. Woody was an organizer. Woody was here.
I know.
No, where was Woody here? I don't remember, but he went with Bob Hall, Bob Bailey, was it Core? Maybe it was Core, I'm not sure, but anyway. They tried to involve me, and I didn't really have no interest in what they were doing. So,
and their big thing was to form
a recipient. But they wanted, their big thing was to form groups like mine, and they wanted me involved, and I didn't want to get involved. So once they done, they found some women, and they did a very good job. And they organized a conference at USC. They got a little room down there and they had on a big Saturday. So I heard about the meeting. I called ANC mothers and told them what was going on and what we need to do. So we formed the carpool. And we went unexpectedly to the meeting. So Tim was there. They had a cross-section of people. George Stanley was there, who was white, from Venice. And they done a good job. A nice crowd. They took this group of people, they were going to set up a Los Angeles County welfare rights organization, which was nice. I took ANC mothers and we went down in cars and walked in. Well, they had to recognize me because I was there. And they did that. Tim had wrote the bylaws for the group to go by. And they got up and they read the bylaws. And I got up and asked who wrote it. And Tim say, "We did. Who is you?" He and the other white guy moved to it. And I stood up and took them bylaws and ripped them apart and told the ladies, write it yourself. Then Tim decided, George had already contacted him about the meeting in Chicago. That's the one that Ed had talked to me about, but that I hadn't paid him no attention. They had made contact with Tim. They had got some money together to send a couple people. They even had invited the girl from Alameda County, Catherine Hines, down to this meeting.
The one at USC?
Mm-hmm. They had invited her.
Was she a recipient?
It was always hard to tell, but she's involved in the Alameda County Welfare Organization. So she's supposed to be a speaker. So I guess she has a speaker. I don't know what Catherine says. But, after I tore up the bylaws and told them to write them themselves, then Tim says, well, you might want to do something about the meeting that's going to be held in Chicago. And he told when it was going to be held. So they got to vote on it. So somebody from my group, I didn't tell them to do this. They nominated me. And somebody else nominated Lovett T. Lewis from Venice. Before they got the word out, she said, I declined in favor of Johnny Tillman, and that was that. Now, you could have, Tim will tell you today, he was really surprised.
I'm going to see Tim at a union meeting this weekend. I'm going to ask him about it.
Oh, I'd like to talk to him. I haven't talked to him in a long time. He's somebody I really like, though. I really love Tim. But, they just sit there. So I got a chance to her name? Lovett T. Lewis. She passed away. She was from Venice. But she had been looking for me for 2 or 3 years and couldn't find me. Because she'd heard about me.
Did they have a group in Venice?
After she heard about me, she wanted to set up one in Venice, but she, you know, they had poverty programs out there, and they had gotten in touch with all of these people here. But Tim will tell you about then that all the time they were putting the program together, they couldn't find me, and I walked in with A.N.C. Muslim and took the meeting over. I don't think they ever forgave me for that one.
Why were you reluctant when they approached you initially to help set up a county thing? Why were you reluctant?
They approached me. The women didn't approach me.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
And had they...
If the women had wrote the bylaws, I never would have bothered them.
Mm-hmm.
I done the same thing in Arkansas. They let the organizer write the bylaws yourself. If this is going to be your organization, I can't write bylaws, but you can go in the book and find them anyway.
Were there other groups in L.A. organized by recipients by this time or not?
Not organized by recipients. They said, no, because Catherine got started after that themselves and did the organizing. So we had a very strong countywide group there. But anyway, I went to Chicago. When I got to Chicago, I saw Obed. I remember him coming in my office down here. I vaguely remember seeing George in Washington in April. This was August when we went to Chicago.
Before you start that, let me ask one thing. Did the ANC mothers have the office yet here or not?
No, ANC mothers' office was operating out of my kitchen.
We still operating, and you were still in the
kitchen, yeah.
And you were.